Thank you, Danny, for so powerfully leading us in worship. And now for the preaching of the word, I ask you again to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Our theme and the promise we want to embrace and pray into our lives is the fact that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And because he lays down his life for the sheep and purchases us to belong to him forever, because at the end of this passage he says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish and no one will take them out of my hands. Because it's an eternal purchase of the sheep by the shepherd, he is with us all the days of our lives. He gathers us as his sheep. He knows us as his sheep. He feeds and leads those who are his sheep. And he keeps us safe and secure until we finally enter into that eternal reality. That's the promise. And we'll see it in two verses here. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then in verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So that's the focus. Jesus is the good shepherd who purchases the sheep for himself by laying down his life so that he becomes the shepherd who provides for us every day and all the time. That's the thing. Every preacher, I'm sure of it, remembers the first funeral he ever preached. That is especially true of me. And one of the reasons is because I was only 19 years old at the time, just entering into college, and had only preached a few sermons to our youth group. And through a series of events, I was called upon to fill in for our solo pastor who was going on a necessary trip that could not be postponed. You have no idea how terrifying it is to be told you're going to preach a funeral and you've never done anything like that and you're 19 and you've never had any training. So as he was leaving town, my pastor said, you know, Mitchell, you ought to preach from John 10 on the Good Shepherd. And here's the outline you should use. The death of Jesus was a voluntary death. The death of Jesus was a vicarious death. And the death of Jesus was a victorious death. And I have never forgotten that outline. I've also never forgotten the fear and trembling that I experienced beside that grave. And I have since learned that there's probably no better way to look through John 10 and the story of the Good Shepherd than the lens of that short outline. So let's think about it. If Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, what does that mean in practical terms for Jesus himself and then, of course, for us? And the first thing I said at the grave was the laying down of the life of the good shepherd was a voluntary act. Where do we see that in these verses? The answer is in verse 11 again. It is the good shepherd who lays down his life. He's not forced to do it. He must give consent to it. And the reason we know that's not reading too much into the verse is because in verses 17 and 18 we read, for this reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, when you hear Jesus say that, you think to yourself, but I've read the stories. Pilate handed Jesus over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. with their own hands, they cruelly beat and scourged him. They forced him to carry his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, Golgotha or Calvary. They fastened him to the cross with nails. Nothing about that looks voluntarily. It looks like that Jesus is a victim of circumstances. But that's not true. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says, I lay it down. Of my own accord, I do so. How can this be? There is an interesting story found in the beginning of the 18th chapter of John's Gospel. It is the story of Gethsemane through the eyes of John, where Jesus is in the garden with his disciples. He's there for the purpose of praying and preparing the disciples. Judas has already gone out to betray Jesus. And Judas, along with a fairly large army, approaches the garden and approaches Jesus. It says they have torches and they have weapons, and Jesus and the disciples are outnumbered. And Jesus walks toward this group of well-armed soldiers, and he says, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Then Jesus said, I am he. And after he says that, the strangest thing you can imagine happens. It says the soldiers step back. They fall to the ground. This is no mock worship. They are overwhelmed by the presence of Christ. They are crippled. They are flat on their faces in a posture of humility. They can't do anything. Jesus could have easily slipped by. There was a way of escape at that moment. They are paralyzed in fear. And Jesus asks again, whom do you seek? And one of them said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And if you read between the lines a bit, it is obvious that Jesus waits for them to regain sufficient strength to take him away. Jesus consented. He knew it was the plan and the promise of God in the Old Testament that the Messiah, the Good Shepherd, must suffer for the sins of the people. So he goes. What happened to Jesus and what we witness when we read scriptures is something he wanted to do. It was voluntary. Secondly, it was a vicarious death. The word vicarious simply means to perform something for someone else or to suffer for someone else. A famous theologian from the mid-20th century, Karl Barth, was once asked the question, what is the greatest word in the Bible? And of all the words he could have chosen from, justification, salvation, forgiveness, are some of the names of the Trinity, he simply answered, the greatest word in the Bible is the word for. F-O-R. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For. Is a serious word. It means in the place of, or instead of, or on behalf of. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. It is a vicarious death. It's a sin-bearing substitutionary sacrifice. Tell me if you've heard this verse before. It's from Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Meaning, we're like sheep who go our own way, who do our own thing, who run away from our God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all on him. Who's the him? The him is the Messiah, the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is dying for us, who is being judged instead of us, who is being crucified on our behalf for the sheep. It's a vicarious death in that all of our sin is imputed unto Jesus, and he becomes our legal and moral guilt. And when Jesus is dying on the cross, when the Good Shepherd is laying down his life for the sheep, he is getting our wrath so that we can get his grace. He's paying the penalty of our sin so we can get full and free pardon. He is purchasing forgiveness and paradise for us by suffering the justice of God that is due us. It was for us. A voluntary and vicarious death. But how do we know if his death is effectual? How do we know it's acceptable? And the answer is found in verse 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Twice he says, I lay down my life voluntarily for you. And then he says, I take it up. I take it up. A clear reference to the fact that Jesus is talking about his future resurrection. Once I lay my life down in death, I will take my life up again. It is true that in the New Testament we're told the Father raised his Son. We're told the Spirit of holiness in Romans 1 raised the Son of God. But we're also taught that Jesus raised himself. A triumphant resurrection. The whole Trinity working together in love to secure our forgiveness. And when Jesus rose from the dead, it was proof that not only were these words true, but it validates, it guarantees all that Jesus promised to accomplish on the cross. So it is right to say, isn't it, that his death is voluntary, vicarious for us, for others, and ultimately triumphant, for he ever lives. Before we move to how the shepherd provides for us, there's one more necessary reality about Jesus we need to see. When we think of him laying down his life for the sheep, let's never forget that he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He refers to himself as I am. I can't begin to count the number of times I've talked about Jesus being the I am, and I never tire of it. In the Old Testament, when we read about the name of God as Lord, when that name is printed, capital L, small o, small r, small d, that word Lord means the one who is sovereign over creation and creatures and redeemed people. He's the sovereign one. But a whole lot of times you'll see in the Old Testament, Lord spelled with all capital letters. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is the sacred name of God. Lord, or Yahweh is the language behind the spelling of Lord with all caps. It means that God is eternal and unchanging. He's from everlasting to everlasting, and there are no variations or shifting shadows in his essence and eternal being. He is not changed by moods. He's not changed by circumstances. He's not changed by the passing of years. He is forever immutable, unchanging, eternal God. So he's the eternal and unchanging God who is also a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. More simply put, he loves us. The eternal, unchanging God of covenant love. And Jesus takes that name for himself. I am Emmanuel, God with you in this world, to be the one. Does it ever grasp us that we are saved by the death of God on the cross? God the Son, the Good Shepherd. And because he rose and he ever lives, he's the shepherd who provides for us. And I would just like to quickly race through these verses and show you how he provides. There are four or five of them, actually. And the first one is that the good shepherd gathers his sheep. Look at verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. What a beautiful text of scripture. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, he started gathering his sheep. But he says here, I have other sheep. And of course, he's referring to the Gentile nations. And I must gather those sheep unto myself. I must go and get them. This verse has often been called one of the greatest missionary texts in all of Scripture. The shepherd gathers his sheep. In fact, you could say since the resurrection of Jesus and the book of Acts, we have been on this all-nation trajectory since he rose. And it will culminate in the end with people from every nation and tongue and language and people group. That's the promise of the gospel. In other words, Jesus is still gathering his sheep today. He's still bringing us into that one fold that has only one shepherd, the exclusivity of the saving power of Christ. He gathers his sheep. He knows his sheep. Again, we look at the text, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I know the sheep. Now you know, you can use that word know in a variety of ways. I could say to you, I know London. I could say, I know Paris. I could say, I know Chester. That's in South Carolina, where I'm from. When I say, I know London, I know it exists, but I've never been there. If I say, I know Paris, I would need to add the words a little bit. I was there for a couple of days, had lunch on the Eiffel Tower. But Chester, I know thoroughly. I know up close and personal. I know in an intimate way. I haven't lived there for 35 years, and I visit there all the time. I know Chester. Jesus doesn't just know about our existence. He just doesn't know us. He doesn't know us hit and miss. Jesus knows us thoroughly, intimately, completely. He knows all of our secrets. And he's never repulsed by what he knows. He is the good shepherd who stays with us and cares for us. He knows us in an intimate, deeply personal and loving way. That's what he means by this powerful word, no, in the sacred text. J.I. Packer writes, "What matters supremely is not in the last analysis the fact that I know Jesus, but the larger fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palm of his hand. I am never out of his thoughts. I know him because he first knew me, and he continues to know me. He knows me as one who loves me, and there is no moment, no moment, when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. There is unspeakable comfort in knowing that the Good Shepherd constantly knows me in love and watches over me for good." So the shepherd gathers us. That picture of the shepherd leaving the 99 to go and fetch and gather and bring back the lost sheep. To love and care for the sheep that he knows. And then we're told he feeds his sheep. That's actually up in verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." The metaphor changes there. I'm the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. Oh, I am the door. Well, it is not a new metaphor because the door is the shepherd. And here's why. During the night hours, the sheep would be brought into a pen. They would be led through an opening. And the shepherd would lay his body over the opening, thus becoming the gate or the door. You had to walk through the shepherd. You had to walk past him to go out into green pastures and still waters. You had to walk through to come in and walk through to go out. Those are the ones he saves who put their trust in him. But he takes them to the pastures. There is an intimate verse in Ezekiel 34, verse 13. Listen to how the shepherd feeds his sheep. "And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the ravines and in all the inhabited places in the country. Wherever my sheep go, I'm going to feed my sheep. I'm going to take care of my sheep." And of course, we know today that the way Jesus feeds his sheep is by means of his word, by means of Holy Scripture. So he gathers, he knows and cares for, and he feeds, and he leads his sheep. Again, the text. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." They hear my voice, I speak to the sheep I know, and they in turn follow me, which is the language of obedience. My sheep are in the habit of listening to my voice and doing what I say. You know, it's possible that someone could say to you, "I am listening to what you are saying," but that's insufficient. They may also add under their breath, "But I don't agree with a word you're saying." I listen, but I don't agree. It is the will of the Good Shepherd that we hear his voice and we agree with his voice. And we follow his leading. That's what the sheep are to do more and more. I wrote in my notes, we should never be casual or careless or contrary listeners to what Jesus says. We are to be fed by his word and led by his truth. And the final certainty of the shepherd is that he keeps his own sheep safe and secure. Let's read verses 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Precious promise of Jesus. He says, those who are my sheep, that is those who believe the gospel, those who trust the sufficiency of his vicarious death and victorious resurrection. He says, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. A triple source of assurance. I implant is the meaning of the word. I give, I establish on the inside of them eternal life. No one can snatch them out of my hands. They can never perish. The strongest possible words. Now, Jesus doesn't say here that we will never be in trouble or endure suffering. He never says that we won't stumble into prolonged obedience. He never says that we won't be hounded or harassed by enemies. Even the psalm says he leads us to green pastures and beside still waters, and sometimes he leads us and tells us to fear not when he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. But what he does say is my Father's hands are omnipotent. My hands are omnipotent, and we hold you in our hands, and no one is a wise enough or strong enough thief to take us away. Not even yourself. No one will perish. There's a story about a century ago, a Scottish minister was visiting an elderly saint who was on her deathbed. But she was very alert. And the pastor knew that Mary knew the Word of God. She had soaked her life in the promises of God. And he decided to take a sort of negative approach to bolster her assurance. And one day while he was visiting Mary, he said to her, "What if on the last day of your life, the Lord should abandon you?" And Mary smiled and said back to her minister, "That cannot be, for it would cost him more than it would cost me." And the minister said, "Well, whatever do you mean?" She says, "Well, if he were to abandon me, I would lose my soul, but he would lose his honor, the veracity of truth. His faithfulness would be gone." Do you see what Mary was saying? What's really at stake when it comes to Jesus keeping his promises is his own honor. Because he says, "I am the good shepherd. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand." So the good shepherd gathers and knows and cares for his sheep. He feeds them and leads them. He gives them truth and helps them obey. And through it all, he keeps us safe and secure in the grip of his merciful omnipotence. Now, I could easily close the sermon, but you remember I talked about my first funeral. Well, I want to close by saying that at almost every funeral I do, and over the years, I have done so very many of those funerals, I almost always read the 23rd Psalm. It is a psalm of comfort in the valley of the shadow of death. But I remember that same pastor that I talked about earlier stood up in the pulpit on one Sunday morning. And he said, one of the greatest theological truths you can know is that Psalm 22 comes before Psalm 23. And the reason he said that, as he went on to explain, is because if you carefully read the 22nd Psalm, it is all about the cross. It is all about the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. It even begins, it even starts, the very first verse is the verse that Jesus quoted when he was in the darkness enduring the justice of God. My God, why have you forsaken me? And of course, Jesus was forsaken on the cross to get for us what we deserve so that we could get what we don't deserve, grace and forgiveness. And when you come out of that cross psalm, you bump right into the face of the psalm that begins, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, all because of the cross in Psalm 22, all the provision and grace in Psalm 23 is available to you. And I'll never forget how the pastor read that psalm at the end of his sermon. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, all because of Calvary. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, all because of Calvary. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. All because of Calvary. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. All because of Calvary. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All because of Calvary. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, that he might provide for his sheep. Shall we pray? Eternal and holy Father, thank you for giving us your Son, who himself is God divine. Thank you that he came and that he willingly and freely, effectually and triumphantly laid down his life to get us for himself and to get us forever. Thank you today that you give us eternal life. We will never perish and no one can snatch us from your hands. Help us to live in dependence, to heed the voice of the shepherd. We praise you and thank you, for you have done more than we deserve. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name be all the glory. Amen.